Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Lord, we want to see a resurrection of him in our lives and the most broken of our dreams and the most shattered of all the images we've had of him. Today, God, we want to see Jesus high and lifted up. We want to see him enthroned in our hearts. We want to see him at the center of our universe. Oh, God, today, reveal yourself to us in a new and a fresh way. Holy Spirit, to the person who has been disillusioned, who's gone to the wayside, I pray, God, that you would resurrect in them a hope like they've never had before. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today and bring us to the place where we can believe once again. We thank you for this and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. Very simple story. There's a little small town in the Midwest, and it's kind of even almost ridiculous to say this in light of all the things that are happening here. But a certain town in the Midwest, they were having difficulty getting rain. Matter of fact, they said, what are we going to do? And so the pastor of the local area, a little small church out in the country, he says, well, I want all the people of the village to meet me here at 4 o'clock, and we're going to pray that God will send the rain. So all the people, they gather themselves together, they get ready to pray. They all assemble in the house. He says, wait a minute. It's all off. It's canceled. They said, what? I thought we came to pray. I thought we came to believe that God was going to bring rain. He says, I don't see any umbrellas. Isn't it amazing that oftentimes we ask God to do certain things, but we don't have the faith to bring the umbrella for what we're asking him to do? Some of us are going to find ourselves in that place of disillusionment, and I just want to just take you through this in kind of a dialogue of what happened on a particular Emmaus Road. Probably one of the most infamous scriptures there is in the Bible regarding a situation where some people found themselves on the very crux of they had some evidence. But let me ask you these questions, first of all, and give you some statements. Only love can lift you out of the dead state of despair. Because Cleopas, and as far as we can tell through some sort of research, that Cleopas and possibly his wife, because it doesn't say whether the person traveling with him was male or female, but they're traveling along a road, and only love can lift you out of that particular despair because they're just kind of traveling along the road. And I want to make a couple things aware to you. They're 7 miles away from where they started. 7 miles from the scene of where Jesus had given his life. And they're on this journey, and I don't even know whether they're on their way to Emmaus, but it's away from where they saw the very promise of what they thought Jesus, who he was and what he's going to do. Here's the second thing I'd like to leave, at least let us consider. Jesus will walk with you to a place where you can confront your disappointment. Because I am not foolish enough to even try to think there aren't people sitting in this room today that are not dealing with disappointment of what they thought Jesus would do, could do, or should do.
Amen.
Oh, just because it's Resurrection Day, you say, well, that's a good thing. We at least should acknowledge that Jesus did die for our sins. But I think some of us are still even questioning that because we're so riddled with certain things and habits that we just can't get rid of. Somehow we find ourselves at that siege of saying, does it really mean all that? How about this number three? The resurrection of Jesus can overcome the death of your experience, of the hopes, of the dreams that have been dashed, as you're willing to face the scars from your experiences that you have suffered in life. You look real good, but underneath it, it's a lot of scars, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. Oh, let's look at this. Well, Cleopas and his companion were taking a journey away from what they thought to be the death of their relationship with Jesus. And it's amazing that in the midst of all the hard things we go through, do you realize this, that Jesus is walking with you? What? And the Lord proves it in such a tangible way that they're walking along in their experience. Kind of walk with me today, if you would, please. And we're kind of walking through this thing, and all of a sudden, they're overtaken by Jesus, and he starts walking with them. But here's the amazing thing about it. They didn't recognize it. How many times has Jesus walked with you and you didn't recognize him? How many times that all of a sudden you said, there's something different about this. I'm going through a hard time, but somehow I feel there's an upliftedness. I really can't quite explain what it is, but somehow it's taken a little different place. Well, Jesus meets you where you are. And then the other thing about it, that Jesus chooses to walk with us through hurts and disappointments. There's not one person in this room that can tell me they've never been disappointed. And perhaps you're dealing with it now. Oh, let me call out a few things that are hard for us to even talk about. Some of you are living an experience that you thought you'd never, never experience. Some of you are suffering with the idea of a person you thought was going to be with you to walk through your experience today, and somehow death has overtaken them. Perhaps a broken vow and you've experienced divorce. Or even greater than that, you've found yourself hooked to an addiction you thought you'd never have to suffer. I'm here to tell you the good news is that Jesus is here to walk you through this and to bring you out more than a conqueror. Now, here's another piece I'll add to it, is that Jesus is going to allow you to make this your Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection doesn't have to be one day. It can be every day. What does resurrection mean? It means to revive those things that were dead. Some of you have a lot of things that are dead in your life because of situations. You say, can it ever come alive again? Remember the Valley of the Dry Bones? The Lord says to him, he says, can these bones live again? And the Lord, he says, Lord, you know. But in the midst of all the dryness, all of a sudden there was a shaking and a quaking and a stirring, and all of a sudden they start coming back together again. God's going to resurrect you from the bones of the ashes, the ash heap of discouragement, and put you back together again. How about this? Many people walk away from Jesus on this road because they're afraid of the doubt of their experience. Now, here's what Jesus says. I love that, how he kind of handles the situation. They're saying that they're walking away from this thing, and Jesus joins them. And he kind of does this Q&A thing. It's kind of interesting. And they said, what kind of conversation is this you're having? And he says, with one another. And they said, are you the only person that doesn't know what happened? Now, isn't it interesting? We can talk about Jesus, but we can't live in the experience of what he did. We know historically, but we don't know practically what Jesus has done. We can repeat back to other folks, you know, he's a savior of the world. He died for my sins. But is that applied to your life right this very moment? And so that 7 mile was escape from the reality that they experienced when they were there and they saw him die on the cross, and something within them died when he breathed his last breath that caused them to walk away. I want to talk to some people here today that have walked away from Jesus because the experience you went through, you didn't feel that he could handle it. And you're sitting here today. I want to show you there's hope for you. Well, when we rehearse the facts of what we've witnessed, we cannot escape our desire to want to believe. Let me tell you about belief. I've often said, you know, there's belief and there's unbelief, which unwinds a belief you had. But I want to adjust that little bit of at least theology for a moment. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But just as well, on the other side of the coin, you can believe in your mind that he's not. Both of them are beliefs. Some believe he is, some believe he is not. You still believe. Everybody in here believes. Every person in here is a believer. But some of you believe that Jesus cannot solve your problems, but there's a whole lot of us that believe he can. But I want to tell you, your belief that he can't will not overrule the people who says that he can't, because we got a testimony that he already did. I want to uproot some of the folks here that are saying, he's done this for so many people. He won't do it for me because give me all the different reasons why. You know what? They're walking along the road. Well, you're the only person that haven't heard about this. They knew it historically, but they didn't apply it practically. And they're walking with the very person who's already done it. Jesus is in the house today. He wants to go beyond the belief that you've fostered to enter into your heart and not into your head. Jesus knows and understands the reality of feelings of abandonment. Wow. This is a tough one. At the most difficult moment that we experience, that he experienced, he experienced many times, we will continue to walk with him. Now, some of you are walking with Jesus right now, and your life is in shambles. Or actually, he's walking with you. And you don't recognize him because you're focused on the wrong thing. How is it that in the midst of all of this stuff that Jesus asked for the very same thing that we asked for? Now, let me help you with this. In the garden, Jesus experienced the greatest disappointment there ever was in the history of the world. He said these words, "Father, if it be possible, let this thing pass from me." And you know what happened? God said no. In other words, your humanness of your feelings, there are certain things you don't want to go through. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you know what? God says, I'm going with you through this, but the answer is no, you're going to go through this. But you know what? You're not going to go through it alone. All of the aloneness was taken care of at the cross when he called out to his Father, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" All the forsakenness that you feel, Jesus took care of it. It was taken care of on the cross. You'll never have to feel alone again. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. My presence will walk with you no matter what you're going through right now." Somebody say amen, because that's the truth. Well, the reality of what we really need cannot be subject to the feelings of our flesh. Because sometimes we don't feel it. But he's still walking with you. What does that mean? Jesus desires to resurrect you from your feelings of abandonment, from the things that allowed you to go through, even though you asked him to take it away. Can I get real practical with you? Some of you are suffering sickness right now. You asked Jesus to take away and you're still sick. See, you're not supposed to say that. Yes, I can. Some of you are struggling with addiction. Oh, Pastor, why'd you do that? And you ask him to take it away. And every morning you get up, it's like starting all over again with that same thing. I want to let you know that Jesus has not abandoned you in the midst of your struggle. Or what about the idea? Let's get into practical terms. Some of you are broke. You're poor. No, you're po, P-O. Or I will not find you. And you ask God every day for an increase in some sort of thing. It seems like you said, "We're just not going to make it." But you know what? You're here. Day by day, he'll take you through the things, the struggles of life. He has never abandoned you. Well, Jesus recognized our sadness and our emotions as we process our pain. And so Cleopas and the commander are walking with this experience. And our hope that things would have turned out different in our lives is heard on high. Because they said, "We thought he was the one." Now, here's the interesting part about it. They're relating this conversation to Jesus after they had already heard that Jesus, that they went to the grave and it was empty, but they still do not believe. Help me with that. Now, there's some people that went to the grave and they found it empty. We wish that were true. I want you to remember what Jesus told you, and not what your feelings are experiencing. Because sometimes we forget what he said. Well, the witness of others who found the empty tomb, we wouldn't displace their doubt. It's the third day and these things have gone about. But our slowness of heart to believe is fueled by our confusion and disappointment. I want to take you to another place. Jesus understands your thirst for what is real. John chapter 19, verse 28. This will kind of set the stage for you. After this, knowing that all things now are accomplished, that the scripture be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." 1928. That's we'll get to that in just a moment. But we must allow the world, we must not allow the world to quench our thirst prematurely. John 15, 23. Now watch this one. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. Actually, I should have them in reverse order. It doesn't really matter. When Jesus was on the cross and about to experience all the things he went through, they said, we want to anesthetize you from some of your pain. Here's some wine mixed with myrrh. We usually do this for the people who are on the cross so they don't suffer that much. And you know what Jesus says? No, thank you. I want to tell you the greatest mistake you'll ever make is when you succumb to the fact of something that the world will offer you to shelter you from certain pain that you will not experience, thinking that they can take care of it for you. Our culture lives in that. We're living in the world of distraction, so we can distract ourselves with all kinds of different things and not really feel the reality of what's really going on. And so he says, and so they gave him mingled wine, but he didn't take it. He says, I'm not going to take this thing, going to take the pain away because I need to experience. So when you go through something, Jesus says, I can identify with your experience. I know how bad you feel. If you don't get anything out of this message, I want you to know that when Jesus had an opportunity to put it aside with man-made wisdom or man-made concoction, he says, I don't need this. I'm going to experience it all for your benefit. Well, the thirst aspect of it would be the world will offer us things to deal with our pain, but not with our thirst. Pain and thirst are two different things. You can have all kind of pain in your body, but a cool glass of water will help a whole lot. It will not help your pain, but I'll tell you what, if it's a hot day and this type of thing, forget about my toe hurts, give me something to drink. I need my thirst quenched. You can put up with a whole lot, but I'll tell you, you got that backache, but honey, a glass of water, all of a sudden you forget, thank you, Jesus. See, we're looking for the pain to relieve. The pain may not go away, but Jesus will give you what you need to be able to move on to the next level. I know that oftentimes we get so preoccupied with painful experiences that we can ruin our life, but Jesus says, I'll give you the thirst, I'll give you the living waters that flow from heaven above that'll keep you able to move on in the things I have for you. Well, anyway, some things that we will endure, but Jesus will take us through them all, and our strength to endure will come from the knowledge of knowing that we're going for his purpose. Well, when Jesus accepted the wine, he did it for our benefit. The scripture that I read first of all. And Jesus says, I thirst, and they gave him the sour wine. The sour wine of our experiences that we've gone through. Jesus took that for us. That our thirst may be quenched in such a way that he took the edge off of the things that we've gone through so we might, that we could be refreshed in the spirit of knowing that he knows and he took it for us, that it was different for him, but now that was a curse to him becomes a cup of blessing for us even as we experience communion on various occasions. Well, that means what the world will offer us has no ability to satisfy or quench our thirst, but he received the sour wine to fulfill scripture, and we must look for the glory for enduring the things that Jesus has purposed for us in order to discover the faithfulness in the midst of a struggle. Let's go back to something. You're walking along the road, and Jesus overtakes you. And here's what's interesting. The further you walk, places where you go, interestingly, they're walking, and the conversation goes on, and pretty soon Jesus kind of stops, and he starts to preach to him. He says, don't you believe what the scripture said? And he begins to prophesy them from the place of Moses, saying, all of this that was being done is being fulfilled in scripture, and they just couldn't receive it. And I think oftentimes we're blinded by the truth because we're so focused on what we're walking away from. The Bible says they were 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and they're still walking along, but Jesus will choose to walk with you the most devastating experiences that you've ever gone through. He'll come right alongside you and say, come, let me tell you what this is all about. Well, they get to a certain place in this experience. They're walking along and time is overtaking them. And I would like to inflict in your timeline some things that after they've had their great discussion, and then pretty soon he comes to a place of kind of telling him, he says, don't you believe what the scripture has said? Isn't this something more than just an experience or an exercise in futility? What are we doing here? Well, we must be willing to, look for the glory of enduring things that Jesus has purposed in order to discover his faithfulness in the midst of our struggle. Here's what happens. They get to a certain place, they said, Jesus, would you like to come in and have dinner with us? Every person in this room has a glorious opportunity on a daily basis to invite Jesus into their world. So they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would go on further, because Jesus says, wait, come with us. One thing I know about Jesus, unless he's invited, he's not going to break into your party. You can keep on walking in your doubt and disbelief and all the horrible things you've gone through, but he's not going to invade into your particular space. So here we go. Jesus is willing to walk with us until we're ready to experience the fullness of his presence. And Jesus will stay with us when we invite him into that situation. So here's where it happens. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. And he went to stay with them. Here's a question. Where is Jesus in your life right now? Well, I don't really know. Have you invited him to come stay with you? Now, here's the problem. Some of us will say, oh, Jesus won't be staying with me. Mm-mm, not in my house. Oh, no, that would never work. But they invite him into this particular place. And I'm going to shift gears on you in just a moment, but they invite him into their house, and what they're going to experience is something that some of us never thought would be relevant to our situation. They bring him into their house, and then the whole thing shifts. And so they said, and now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Did you ever think about the hospitality switch that happened here? Jesus is invited to their house, and he's serving dinner. That ever strike you as being a little odd? Oh, I just saw it in scripture. I guess that's the way it was. Oh, no. Hold on. Once we invite him to the table, he's going to do what's necessary to bring us to an experience of where it will make a difference in our life forever. So he does this. He takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he offers it to them. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to these last few moments I'm going to spend with you, because it's going to change our whole idea of what happens. We must be willing to allow him to break bread at our table as an honored guest, and the blessing of him at the table of our discovery will only happen when we're truly ready to receive him. Which means this: breaking of bread was amazing. Now, here's something I was doing some study, and this is what I discovered, and this is maybe, you can call it a postulate, you can call it an idea. But up until this particular time, they did not recognize Jesus all the way through scripture. But when he broke the bread, they recognized him. Call it theory, call it whatever you want to. But he's at the table. And as you know, in those days, they wore garments. Usually they were rather long. But when you take bread and you break it like this, it exposes your hands. And I believe when he broke the bread, he showed his scars. Then they knew who he was. Hold on for a moment. The way that we'll recognize Jesus is through the scars that he bore for us. But sometimes that's the most difficult thing for us to do. But the scars that we experience are part of our identity and that Jesus has atoned for. And this is going to be pretty amazing, and it's going to be helpful for many of us. We must be honest with ourselves regarding this aspect of it. So he goes this, and he blesses it, breaking the bread, and Jesus, giving the bread to them, opened their eyes. And then all of a sudden, he disappears. He is willing to let his scars speak to all the things that hindered them from discovering his identity. All the knowledge they had about the events that had taken place could not have opened their eyes to who he was. But the revelation of his scars could tell the story more than all the words they had exchanged as they walked together. John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29, and you'll understand where I'm going with this. When they broke the bread, he saw his wounds. Okay, now Thomas called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I can see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Work with me. The scars you've experienced in your life that Jesus has healed makes you more believable. Amen. Don't be ashamed of your scars. May I personalize this for you? I had a knee operation many years ago, probably about 5-6 years ago. And one of the most horrifying experiences of my life is this huge scar I have on my leg. I don't know whether I was going to show it to you or not. I didn't want to spoil your lunch. But if you want to have a private showing, I can show it to you. But it's this long. And they didn't stitch it well. But here's been my philosophy on this. From the time I had that operation, I stopped wearing shorts. Yes, I did. Now, shorts are more comfortable, yes. But I was embarrassed and ashamed of the scar. And so that was something I just said, well, I'll have to take that off my list. But then as I was studying for this message, the Lord says, "Why are you so ashamed?" Well, because I'm afraid some kids say, "What's that on your leg? What happened to your leg? It doesn't look like the other one." Sound like us? But then I got to thinking about it. Before I went under the knife, I couldn't walk up those stairs on a good day. I'm looking for elevators. And I just about got me a walker because this leg wasn't working like it should. But so I had to decide, I said, do I want to keep my pride together, or am I willing to bear a scar in order to be healed so I can walk like everybody else? I want to tell you, folks, don't be ashamed of the scars. And that was a revelation that Jesus, you know, they couldn't figure out who he was. But as soon as he breaks the bread, they go, oh, it's Jesus. You know, Jesus could have had plastic surgery. Send me an angel, fix me up, erase the scars. But he bore those scars for a reason, so the authenticity of who he was could never be questioned. The authenticity of what God has done in your life will be shown in the scars that he has fixed in your life. All the scars are there, but it can remind you of where he brought you from. Don't ever. Once I was once blind, but now I see. I was not able to walk, but now I'm able to walk. Now, here's another thing that's interesting. I have my right leg done, and the left leg, I've never had it done. But I'll tell you what, the right leg said to the left leg, catch up, or they're going to do the same thing to you. And so far, so good. There's cooperation going on. You don't have to go through it twice. Well, I'll tell you, the healing can have a virtue where it can help somebody else to start acting right. Some of you folks want to call Thomas Doubting Thomas. Someone else gave me this insight, so I can't claim it as my own. Rather than calling him Doubting Thomas, call him Honest Thomas. Is that all right? Because some people want to see. He says, and I want to behold it for myself. I want to tell you that God is going to do something authentic, has done something authentic in your life. Don't be ashamed of what he's done. Tell the story of what he's done and watch God bring deliverance into people's lives, into their hearts. Well, let's deal with this a little bit more. Here's what they said. They said, as they're going along, they said, oh, he vanished from the sight. And this is what they said. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was made known, he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I want to stop there today, and I want to at least build you a picture of what I believe God wants to do to us before do with us before we leave this place. It's more than the words that were said. But I want to tell you, the difference between wounds and scars is a time lapse between your pain, healing, and at times it takes you to move forward into your destiny. What about this? The hardest things to forgive are self-inflicted wounds of disobedience, impatience, and lack of trust in God's promises. Those scars are hard to heal. Forgiveness does its work when we no longer hold on to the wounded us on the cross of shame and pain. The difference between not believing and believing is our willingness to live with scars that remind us of his grace that brought us through the place of pain. This is what I know. The struggle for some of you today is dealing with the scars. Only people I want to be moving around is the choirs and get themselves in position. God wants to resurrect you. And resurrection means to revive that which was broken, that which you thought could never be repaired. Everybody bow your heads, everybody. In a few moments, we'll get a chance to respond to Jesus in a hopefully a very new way. I would like to suggest a couple things to you. The first one is this. You don't have to live with the pain of guilt and shame over what your life has gone through. Our Lord has conquered all of those things. Let me pray with you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, for the people here who have done their best to cover up the scars and done their best to hide the experiences of doubt, for those who've walked away from the very scene of their redemption, going to another place away from what they thought was not what they needed. Lord, after they saw you around the table, after they saw your scars, it turned them around and they went back to the very place they left. They went back to join the disciples. They went back to reunite themselves with the people who say, you know what? He is who he says he is. We've seen him. He broke bread with us. We can trust him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray over those people who have walked away from Jesus in disillusionment and pain and frustration, in doubt, in uncertainty, because it didn't turn out the way they thought it would. And some of the things that you asked them to take away didn't go away, and so they chose not to believe you. They chose not to trust you. But Lord, help them to know that you haven't abandoned them, that you will still walk with them. And you'll reveal to them the scars of that brought their redemption, that they can see you for who you truly are. In the name of Jesus. In the quietness of this moment, this is not to put any guilt trip on anybody. But I know there are several people here today that would have to say, you know, Pastor, I walked away because it was just too painful. I asked God to heal this, and I asked God to fix that, and I asked God to change this, and he didn't do it. And to be honest with you, I just walked away. I was done. The only thing I would ask you to do is choose to believe again. Choose to believe that he keeps his promises and he'll do what he said he would do. If that's you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, today, I want to change direction. I want you to lift your hand right now. Say, let's lift it up and say, yep, that's me. I want to do that today. Do it. Go ahead. Don't be afraid of anyone else. Lift it up high where I can see it. I know it's hard, it's painful. Some people are just fighting back tears. Lift them up high, because there's at least probably half a dozen or more people that says that. And I want to tell you, this is the day to do it. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Lift up high where I can see it. That's right. Over here, over there, back there. Other people who say, yep, today is going to be my day. In a moment, we're going to stand, and I'll invite those people to come forward. We'll pray with you, and Jesus is going to do something amazing in your life. He's going to restore your hope and restore your confidence in him and that which you've always wanted to have happen. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you that lift your hands, step out right now. Just come down to this altar.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.